Amen. Isn't Jesus good? Amen. We hope today, if you're visiting, you're enjoying your time with us. That God will bless you. We pray that you'll be super blessed by the time you leave today. If you've been traveling with us or journeying with us at all, you'll notice that I introduced a theme called Stronger, Better, Together. Do you remember that? Stronger, Better, Together. Can we still remember that? Yeah. We should do after all this time. We started off looking at the lives of godly people that were ordinary people that did extraordinary things, and we looked at characteristics in their life and we tried to see how we apply them to our lives. Then we looked at the life of Jesus, how Jesus fulfilled more than any human person could by superseding the characteristics. So if we looked at, for example, obedience, and we saw how Jesus was so much more obedient than Noah, who was obedient. And so we looked at the life of Jesus, and we saw him where the other people were like heroes of our faith, and Jesus is the superhero of our faith. And we've talked about being stronger, better together, that what we want to do is to become more like Jesus, to understand who Jesus is. And not only just understand who Jesus is, but apply what Jesus says into our lives so we become more like him. So ultimately, we will be stronger, better together. And today, what I want us to do is look even more now at the ministry of Jesus. I want to look at the historical character of Jesus. I want to look at history. I want to take some scriptures over. I think there's about 10 sections in this part that we'll be looking at more in the life of Jesus. Historic life of Jesus, but also about his ministry and why he is who he says he is, and we can put our trust and our faith in him. So if we look, for example, today, the historians will agree, all historians, that Jesus existed. He was a Galilean Jew, and many of them will say that because of his radical teaching, because of what he did, the miracles that he performed, because of the way his teaching was different to everybody else's, that he was martyred, he was killed for what he did. Many historians will say that. Many historians ask the question, who is this man? Can you say this? Who is this man? And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Who is this man? Who's this man that people are talking about? Now, many historians will not connect that Jesus, the man, the historic figure in Galilee, is the same person who leads the Christian church today as the head. They don't make that connection. They don't, because they don't have faith in Jesus. But they do say he exists. And one writer of a book called Putting Jesus in His Place talks about Jesus being a powerful figure whom people want on their side. They want Jesus to be on their side. They want Jesus to be in their corner. But they want to recreate him to be the Jesus that they want him to be. And so many people will say today, well, the Jesus I believe in does this. Or the Jesus I believe in behaves in this way. And people like to have their own opinion on who Jesus is and what Jesus does and how he behaves, because they want him on his side, but on their terms. One of the things we have in this historical book is this historical book talks about this figure, this person, this man, and tells us exactly who he is, exactly what he does. We can't change who he is. This book tells us who he is, and we're going to explore that a bit today. I hope that when we finish this part of the series of Stronger, Better Together, that we will know Jesus in a much better way than we've ever known him before, that we'll love him and have a deeper understanding. Jesus asked the question once, who do people say I am? Have you ever read that? Who do people say I am? The problem with our cultures today is they've changed it to be these words. Who do you want me to be? Who do you want me to be? Jesus has not changed. He is who he always said he was, And he continues to be that person. So we're going to explore that today. So in the Hebrew culture and theology, we need to understand who Jesus is. We're going to investigate the life of Jesus. And I pray that you will be challenged as we look at these. I pray that you'll learn something new that will draw you closer to Jesus than ever before. You may be visiting us today and you may not have a close relationship with Jesus yet. I'll use the word yet because God has got some great things for your life. What we do know about Jesus right from the start of his ministry is wherever he went, multitudes of people followed him. They travelled for miles to hear this man. Who is this man? Was on their lips. Even the religious leaders of the days, the Pharisees, travelled from Jerusalem to Galilee to hear Jesus. Throughout all of Judea, throughout all of Galilee, the religious leaders are asking the question. The question on their lips is, who is this man? No one's heard anybody teach like Jesus. No one's seen the things that this man can do before. No one's heard the teaching that he's brought. And Jesus is the talk of the town. Say, Jesus is the talk of the town. In fact, Jesus is the talk of Israel. Everyone's talking about him. Everyone. Do you know what's going to happen in this town? I believe Jesus is going to be the talk of the town. Because of Jesus, what he's done, he's going to be the talk of the town here. God is going to move in such a way that people are going, who is this man? Pastor Emmanuel's running Alpha at the moment, and I think was the subject last week is, who is Jesus? You've just covered that, yeah? And if you want to come to our Alpha course, please see Pastor Emmanuel, and I'm sure we'll make space for you. So let's start looking at Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at three chapters in Luke and one in Mark. Jesus is in his hometown now. His hometown is a place called Capernaum. If you don't know, Jesus had his own house in Capernaum. You can find that and study that for yourself. And this might have even been Jesus' house. We don't know. He's in Capernaum. And once again, the religious and political leaders of the day are in this house. They've come to hear this man teach. The room is crowded. It is packed with people who are desperate to hear what Jesus has to say. There is no room in the house. It's standing room only. Outside, there are crowds of people that can't get in, desperately wanting to hear, what is this man saying? And so in this house, with all these religious people, these self-righteous religious people who have an opinion on everything. Have you ever known people like that? People that always have to be right. Do you ever know anybody like that? A group of men appear with a friend. The friend is paralyzed. He's on a mat. These friends believe, if only we can get to this man, he can heal our friend. They had faith to believe that this man was different. They'd heard about the miracles, or maybe they'd seen the miracles. We don't know. But we know this. They believed just one touch from this man, their friend would be well. So they bring him. Wow. But they can't get in. There's disappointment in their heart. They can't get in because of two reasons. One, because of the crowds, but that is not the main reason. The main reason is this. In Jewish culture, if someone was paralyzed, it was because of sin in their life or the life of somebody else that had come down their line. And it was divine judgment upon that person. The religious leaders didn't want them in the room. Don't bring him in here. Don't let him in here. We don't want to associate with that kind of person that is being judged by God and has sin in their life. sometimes we think we can judge people. We have no place to judge others. We have a place to love other people. Good on these friends. We're not going to give up. Do you know what? We're going to get to Jesus. Forget what these people are saying. We're getting him here because we know that Jesus can heal. We believe it. So we're going to get to Jesus. Sometimes, you know, if you need your miracle, you need to press in. You might be disappointed by something that's in front of you and you might think, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Keep pressing in. Keep moving forward. Find a way. Disciples go upstairs. Oh, the friends go upstairs. Take the roof off. Lower the man down. Let's have a look at the story, Luke 5:17-19. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat, and they tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up to the roof, lowered him on the mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Who needs friends like that? We need friends sometimes to fight for us and help us when we can't do it ourselves. Thank God for friends like that. We pray our Oasis family will be friends like that to each other. And Jesus is going to do something that is going to be extraordinary. He's going to do something that they don't expect him to do. He's going to do something outrageous, actually. He's going to do something that will set him on a course that will cause him to be murdered on a cross because of the words he's about to say. So as they lower the man down, the friends are expecting Jesus is going to heal my friend. Probably a number of people think Jesus can probably heal this man. But Jesus doesn't heal them straight away. Jesus, let's look at this. When Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the friends, he said, friend. Oh, I love that. Friend. Did your version say that? He never met that man before. But he extends the friendship towards him. When anybody comes in this church for the first time, extend your friendship towards them. They are already your friend. If you're visiting today, you're a friend of this house. You're very welcome. Does he say, be well? No, he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. This is an outrageous statement. This is an outrageous statement because the religious leaders of the day, they're thinking, they haven't saying it, it doesn't say they said this, they thought it. Hang on a minute. Who is this man who claims to forgive sins? Because only God can forgive sins. Only God can do that. What are you doing, Jesus? Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? The friends are going, hang on a minute, we haven't come to have his sins forgiven. We've come to see him healed. But Jesus has to deal with something first before he heals the man. And sometimes Jesus has to deal with things in our life sometimes before he heals us, okay? Now, this man was probably full of shame because the understanding was he's under the judgment of God. Jesus wants to release him from shame before he heals him. Do you understand that? What I'm saying? And this church should be a place where people are released from shame and guilt. See, this man has been carried and he's full of shame. Jesus sees him and goes, friend, do you know what? You don't have to live in shame anymore. You don't have to live under this cloud where people are judging you for who you are. First of all, before I heal you, your sins are forgiven. If you're carrying shame today, if you're carrying guilt today, it may be something that nobody else knows but you know. Or it may be that something that people have put upon you and judged you. Today is your day to leave your shame behind and to be forgiven and to move forward. This is the day. So Jesus goes on to say, after he says, your sins are forgiven. Verse 22. Jesus knew what they were thinking. Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately. Say the word immediately. Oh, I love that word, immediately. I love it when God does something immediately. God can release you from your sin and your shame today. Immediately. He stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God. Comes in on the mat, broken. Stands in front of the crowd. The crowd have to make way. He walks proudly out. I'm free. I'm free from my shame, and I'm free from my pain. Some of you want to walk out this room today free of shame and pain and forgiven from your sins. Who is this man? He shows clearly who he is by his authority, because this man is healed, that he's able to forgive sins. This is why I love Jesus. Can I say, some of us in this room, we want to see miracles. We do. We long to see miracles, but you see miracles every day. Do you want me to tell you what the greatest miracle is? It's not somebody in a mat that's paralyzed getting up out of. That's not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is the forgiveness of sins and salvation. And you're seeing people, and we're seeing people saved and giving their life to Jesus every day. And the kingdom of God is advancing. That is the best miracles. Never say, when are we going to see miracles? You're seeing them. The best miracle, the most powerful miracle, is people are saved from their sins. They may never be healed physically, but they're going to heaven and going to spend eternity with Jesus. I want to say to you, if you're home today and you feel that there's a sense of shame upon you because you've been unwell for so long, you do not need to feel shame. We don't always understand why God doesn't heal in the way he does or in our timing. But do not carry shame because you are unwell. It does not mean you are in sin. It just means you are unwell. Sometimes we can be sick if we live in sin and God speaks to us and refuse to obey what he says. That is true. And we pay the consequences of that. But we never judge people in this place. And if you're part of this church, if you start to join us, please remember that this is a family. And what we want to do here is offer forgiveness and show the love of Jesus to every person that walks through the door. Please help us to do that so we can be stronger and better together. Let's look at another story, Luke chapter 7. Again, Jesus is now in another house. He's been invited to Simon's house. Not your house, Simon, but somebody called Simon. Simon the Pharisee. Simon the Pharisee has invited Jesus. We don't know why he's invited Jesus. Is it because he wants to be the popular man? I've invited the guy that everyone's talking about. Is it because he wanted to trap Jesus? Is it because he wanted to belittle Jesus? But we do know this one thing that he didn't do. He didn't offer hospitality to his guest by washing his feet in this story. In Jewish hospitality, if you go to their house, they would wash your feet, because in those days you would walk through all kinds of things that were on the floor without us mentioning what they might be, but you can imagine. You wash your guests' feet. And there was a courtyard, and Jesus is teaching. He's asking Jesus questions. And what they would do is they would take their left arm, they would recline in the center, so all their heads were together, and the feet would be behind them. And they would lie down, and they would talk about the Bible, or the Torah, or about God. And people, because they were religious leaders of the day, would want to come and listen to the conversation. They were allowed in on this particular day, this day, when people were having conversations. They weren't allowed to speak. They certainly weren't allowed to interact and ask any questions, but they would sit on the outside of the courtyard watching. Jesus is talking, and a lady comes in. I believe this lady has already encountered Jesus already, but now she comes in, and she watches. She watches that Jesus has not been treated correctly as a guest. God has obviously done something in her heart beforehand. And as Jesus is speaking, the lady comes. She weeps. She cries over him. And she washes his feet with her hair. Wow. Do you think you'd be embarrassed if that was happening to you? If I was preaching now and somebody started to wash my feet, I'd like, oh my goodness, what do I do now? I'd keep going. Jesus keeps going. Simon the Pharisee thinks in his head, if Jesus really is a true prophet of God, if he really is a prophet, he would know the kind of woman, that kind of woman that's touching him. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar. In Hebrew, I understand that that kind of woman is a prostitute. She's lived a prostitute. She's carrying shame and guilt in her life. She's carrying something that wherever she goes, people are looking at her, making comments, making judgments about her. Oh, it's that woman. You know the one I mean. She's in the courtyard and people are watching. And Simon the Pharisee says to her, thinks about Jesus, if you knew what she was like, you'd be a true prophet. You're not. But Jesus knows what she's thinking. Jesus knows what you and I are thinking right now. I wish he'd hurry up with his sermon. Jesus knows what he's thinking. And Jesus tells him a story. He says there's a story of two people, one who owes a lot of money and one who owes a little money. And the person calls them to the man and forgives them of the little and the much. And Jesus says to Simon, who do you think would love the person more? One who had much forgiven or a little? And Simon says, I guess, Jesus, the answer is the one that has been forgiven the most. Jesus knows this woman. He knows what she needs to be forgiven from. And he knows the love that she's showing him because she has been forgiven much. Jesus says to her, he looks around to the lady, looks into her eyes, your sins are forgiven. Wow. And what happens? The other guests begin to say this time, they're not thinking it now, they're saying it. Who is this man who even forgives sins? He's the talk of the town. Afterwards, people go, do you never guess what Jesus said to that lady? Your sins are forgiven. Can I just say, we need to remember, if we're going to be stronger together, please accept what I'm saying in the right way. We need to remember what we've been forgiven of, the sins that we've been forgiven of. We need to remember that we are sinners saved by grace, that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And God has extended out his forgiveness to us. And what he expects us to do is extend our forgiveness out to other people and not judge them. Let's never forget that we have been forgiven from our sins. And let's help others to find that forgiveness and receive this greatest miracle. Jesus knew exactly who this woman was. He knew exactly what Simon was thinking. And he says in verse 50 to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. If you put your faith in Jesus today, you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. All who put their faith in Jesus will be saved. What do I need to be saved of? From my sin. So that I can have a relationship with Jesus forever. If you've not been forgiven of your sin, today is the day that can happen. Amen? This woman walks out of the courtyard, head held high. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. And I can walk with my head held high, knowing that this man has forgiven my sins and he's healed me. Isn't that good news? Wouldn't it be great if everybody that came through the door gave their life to Jesus? But not everybody will. Let's move on to chapter 9. As Jesus continues his ministry of teaching, healing and forgiveness, he attracts multitudes of people. Multitudes. He attracts disciples, people that put their faith in him. And many of them are then empowered by Jesus to go and spread the good news of forgiveness and salvation. And he empowers them to do it. Jesus empowers us to go and share the good news. How are they going to hear unless we share? How are people going to hear unless we tell them, do you know what? I've got some good news for you today. We've had a lot of bad news on the news, but I've got some good news. Do you want to hear some good news for a change? The good news is that Jesus loves you and you can be saved. And he empowers you and I today to go and share the good news and offer forgiveness to all broken people. Some people will say no. Many will say yes. In Luke chapter 9, we read about Herod. Herod Antipas, not a nice man. He heard all that was going on. And he was, what's that word? Perplexed. Do you know what that is in English? Perplexed. It means, what, who is he? Who is this guy in my region? Some are saying that it was John. I've just beheaded John. It can't be John. Some are saying it's one of Elijah that appeared. Still others, one of the prophets who's come back. But who on earth is he? And he tried to see Jesus. Now, Jesus withdrew after this for a while, for a reason. We'll look at that another time. News of Jesus, his ministry of healing and forgiveness, had such an impact on Galilee. And Herod is perplexed. Herod didn't know what to do with Jesus. Sometimes people won't know what to do with Jesus. They won't. It'll be strange to them. Becoming a Christian and understanding what it means to be a Christian, it's a different world. The only time they use the name of Jesus is in swearing. When you start to talk about Jesus, some people are going to look at you strange, like you've got two heads. What are you on about? What do I need saving from? But as you start to explain who this man is, hopefully a number of people will understand it. And you can invite them to Alpha Course, which there are still some spaces, and you can see Pastor Emmanuel. We need to help people on their journey of faith. By the way we live our lifestyle, yes. By what we say, yes. We need to be wise what we say and when we say. Because we need to be led by God's Holy Spirit to do that. But the Oasis Christian family, our job, your job, not my job, our, is to help people on their journey of faith understand who this man is. That's our job, this side of heaven. One day Jesus returns to his hometown called Nazareth. Nazareth is where he grew up as a little boy. His reputation preceded him there. Some people had followed Jesus and come back to Nazareth and said, you know that little boy that used to play and throw stones? You know that little boy? I've just seen him in Galilee. He's just forgiven people of their sins, and people have got up from their mat and walked, and he's seen, blind eyes have seen, and deaf ears. And even he's raised somebody from the dead. And the people in his town go, no, not that man. Can't be him. Definitely not him. Because he's not the Jesus we want him to be. He's not the Messiah we want him to be. And in his own town, they reject him. Mark 6:1-3. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that's been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took what at him? They took offense at Jesus. Can I just say to you in this room that when you share the love of Jesus, some people will take offense. No, they won't, would they? Yes, they will. Do you know why? Because it's not the Jesus they want him to be. It's not the Jesus they want him to be, but we know the Jesus that he is. In the book, it tells us. Worship team, could you just come up? Oh, that's great. The question people are asking, the question people will ask, is who is this man? Jesus has shown who he is. He's the Son of God that came down from heaven to earth to give his life for you and I. He's shown his authority, that he has the authority to forgive sins, because as he's done so, he has healed people and made them well. Sometimes he needs to forgive us our sins before we get healed, but not always. The question I have for you today is, who do you say Jesus is? When Jesus asks the question, who do you say I am? What is your answer? If you don't know him today, you can know him. Can I ask across the room if you can just close your eyes for a minute? Just to be, for the sake of everybody in this room. Maybe in this room you're carrying shame. You're carrying guilt because either something you've done or something that people have said over your life. One of the words that keeps coming into my mind, you'll never change. You're always the same. Words have been spoken like that, and you're carrying that. Well, you don't have to carry shame anymore. If you're carrying shame in this room, I'm going to ask you in a minute to put your hand up, but not yet. If you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to give Jesus a chance in your life to forgive you and to heal you, then you can do that today, either online, and you can connect with Judy, who's online now. Or you can email myself, robin@oasisreadish.church, after this service. Then you can give your life to Jesus. If you need to be released from shame, and you need to be healed from pain, and you need Jesus in your life, I want to ask you to place your hand in the air. Thank you. Anybody else? You don't need to be embarrassed. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Father, I ask today that as we study now who Jesus actually is, that, Father, you will show your power to those that have their hands up. And you will minister to them as you always minister to other people, with compassion and grace and mercy and kindness. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And we say, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. And we put our trust and faith in you because you are able to forgive us from our sins and to heal us. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. May God richly bless you. If you want to come and talk, please come and talk after.